I'd like to read three passages of Scripture tonight. I'd like to start with Luke and chapter 14. Luke and chapter 14. Luke 14, and I'm going to start from verse 16. And he said to them, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he sent his bondman at the hour of supper, to say to those that were invited, come, for all things are ready. And all began without exception to excuse themselves. The first said to him, I have bought land, and I must go and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said to him, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go prove them. I pray, hold me for excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and on this account I cannot come. And the bondman came up and brought back word of these things to his lord. Then the master of the house, in anger, said to his bondman, go out quickly into the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring here the poor, the crippled, and the lame, and the blind. And the bondman said, sir, I have done as thou hast commanded, and there is still room. And the Lord said to the bondman, go out into the ways and the fences to compel to come in, that my house may be filled. And I say to you, that not one of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper. And then I would like to read in Mark chapter 2, I'll start from verse 16. And the scribes and the Pharisees, seeing him eating with sinners and tax gatherers, and said to his disciples, why is it that he eats and drinks with tax gatherers and sinners? And Jesus, having heard it, says to them, they that are strong have not need of a physician, but those who are ill. I have not come to call righteous men, but sinners. And then I'd like to read a verse in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor, in order that ye, by his poverty, might be enriched. The glad tidings, dear friend, is an invitation for you, individually, of grace. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. But we have here a certain man. This is a parable. It's an interesting parable. It speaks as to somebody having a supper and inviting people, and people rejecting the invitation, have excuses. Other things might be more important. Oh, I've bought land. I've got 5 yokes of oxen. I've married a wife. I cannot come. All excused. But this certain man said, his desire that his house would be full, said to his bondman, go out quickly to the streets and find the poor, the crippled, the lame and blind, and invite them in. And in the glad tidings, dear friend, God is inviting you tonight. John chapter 1 says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be children of God, and to those that believe on his name. This here is an image of God. He is seeking men to come, be blessed, to be brought in to his house. But there are those that are getting with excuses, saying, I cannot come. But he seeks the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind, the poor in spirit, those that are not necessarily monetary poor, but those that poverty before this man, those that didn't have a claim, have an invitation to this feast, they were invited to it. Those that we don't have a claim to God in ourselves, but it is by the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be brought in, and by his poverty we can be enriched. We see how go out to the ways and the fences and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Think of the feeling of God, that he would desire you to be brought in, that my house might be filled. He wants a full house. We've sung in our hymn, come hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. Though guilty, now draw near. Though vile, you need not fear. The desires of God, that you would be brought near. We read how the Lord Jesus, how he came here and was with tax gatherers and sinners. He's not come to call the righteous ones, but sinners. You and I, far from God. The ways of sin is death. It leads to death, leads to destruction. But God is seeking you, those that are ill, to have this physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, can save you from your sins, the Saviour of this world. What wonderful grace there is here, that we see the Lord Jesus here as a man. We read in 2 Corinthians, he being rich, that is Jesus, he was rich. He came in incarnation. He wasn't created. He came from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from heaven, and think of the poverty that he came to, a bondman, came to this scene. The foxes, the birds have places to rest. In nests, the birds and the foxes in burrows. But the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Think of the poverty. Think of Mary, Joseph and Mary having nothing. Couldn't even pay for a place in the inn. Think of that lowly stoop, down stoop in grace. It is grace that he came here for you and for me. Love as well. Love and grace, in order that you and I as personal, might be enriched by his poverty. We think of that way of the Lord Jesus Christ, a way of suffering, a way of shame. You read in Isaiah 53, the depths in which he went for you and for me. Dear friends, we are sinners. We have fallen short of God's designs. God's created us that we might worship him. But we have chosen to please ourselves, to worship ourselves. You see, those worshipping idols, yes, we might not worship a physical idol, but how much of self is there in our lives? How much do we think of self? Number one, self-importance. Me, me, me. But there is something much greater than yourself. Someone much more beautiful than yourself. Someone that's worth worshipping. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Think of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went that way that you might come and be a part of this feast that he's got in mind for you. We can't come in any other way. We can't come to this feast by riches, by power, by self-importance, by our righteousness. He's not come for men seeking, you know, self-righteousness. He's come for sinners, guilty sinners, such as me. It's from my heart, and it's too for you. You're a sinner before God and in need of a Saviour. And we just think of the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We can turn from darkness and death into light and life. This is a transforming power You see, you can see other Christians, other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the transformation they have when they come to see Jesus, to face to face and accept him as their saviour. And you can have that transaction and transformation tonight if you see and come acknowledge your state before God, how you are ruined, how you are undone, and how Jesus is the only way of salvation. And it is tonight, it is right now that we can come and accept Jesus as our Saviour and be healed. We have all gone astray, but God wants you to come back to him. Jesus suffered on the cross. This pathway here, teaching and preaching and showing the heart of God to man, showing what God has in store for men. And that way led to the cross. It had to go that way for you and for me to be saved. Had to go that way to the cross. He had to suffer the shame, the curse. Cursed is the one who suffers on the cross, on the tree. He hung on a tree for you. Hands pierced by Roman nails for you. And his blood shed. We think of how he was on the cross for 3 hours and you could see the punishment that the man inflicted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was that 3 hours of darkness. Sin and sins laid upon him. God judging your sins. Calculating your sin and sins. And putting it upon him that we could be saved. That we could have a right basis to come. And he could have a right basis to come out in blessing to you. And we see how when Jesus died, gave up his life, the Roman soldier pierced his side and outflowed blood and water. Love answer gave that hatred of that Roman soldier to pierce the side, but it must be so for that blood, redeeming blood. Life is in the blood, we say. Jesus laid down his life. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no remission of sins. Your blood isn't righteous blood. Jesus' blood was holy, spotless, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His blood was shed, perfect Lamb. And then he was taken off that cross and put in a tomb, and there was there for 3 days and 3 nights. They put a stone in front of his tomb, put soldiers there to guard to make sure no one would steal or rob the body of Jesus. But we see how victorious it was, the sufferings, the way of the Lord Jesus was perfect in every way, even on the cross. We know that it is finished, the debt was paid in full. And so God, the Father, had a righteous basis to raise him from the dead. He arose. That is the wonder of the gospel, that we can serve a living God, a living Saviour. Other religions, you worship dead beings, fake beings. But we serve and we worship a living and glorious Saviour, risen from the tomb. Burst the bands of death. He went into the depths of the earth. But he has come out victorious. He has come out victorious. That we can be set free. Set free from sin. Set free from the bondage of death. That we can come into this blessing. That we can be enriched by his poverty. How wonderful it is that Jesus should go that way. But the question is, dear friend, have you accepted it? Do you recognize that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you recognize that Jesus suffered in your stead? Have you put your sins upon him? Have you said, forgive me for my sins? Do you recognize yourself as one of those helpless persons? One of the crippled, the lame, the blind? Do you recognize yourself as one of those? I pray that you might do so. You recognize your coming short of God's requirements. And that you just cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast yourself upon him. He is the only way of salvation. He is the only one that's worthy. The wonderful thing is, grace is not law. Law says, thou shalt. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt do that. Grace is, I will. And you see, God has done and has accomplished this that he set out to do, that Jesus should suffer in your stead and that you can come into blessing. Pray that you might take up this offer of grace tonight while there is still room. We have sung in our hymn, some guests will be the last. Some guests will be the last. Salvation day will pass. God's grace will come to an end. The day of grace will come to an end. Where will you be in eternity? This is a matter for eternity. This matter deals with eternity. It is, yes, we accept it in time, but it impacts eternity. Will you be numbered in the feast, in the Father's house? He longs for you. He compels you. Come, come as you are. We pray that you might just accept Jesus. He is the only Saviour of sinners. No other way. Pray that you might just accept him in simplicity. Repent and believe the glad tidings. It is simple. The work has been complete. Jesus has done all the work. Just reach out your arms and accept in him. Just pray that you might do so for his name's sake and for his glory too. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.